We're reading from Canto 9, chapter 24, text 57. Nahyasya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drashtur atmanaha. Na, not, he, indeed, asya, of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, janmanaha, of the appearance, or taking birth, hetu, there is any cause. Karmanaha, or for acting, va, either, mahipate, o king, Maharaj Parikshit, atma mayam, his supreme compassion for the fallen souls, vina, without, Ishasya, of the Supreme Controller. Parasya, of the Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the material world. Drashtu, of the Super Soul, who witnesses everyone's activities. Atmanaha, of the Super Soul of everyone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for His appearance, disappearance or activities. As the Super Soul, He knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects Him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Purport. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana daivane trena jantur deho papa taya. A living being is never independent and can never be independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Yantra Rudayani Mayaya, the body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yugya yugya. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advance myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people, who because of a poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna, are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as Samaurdhva. According to the Vishvakosha dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivihesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. This is an interesting part. It's about being independent. I met this guy in the campus during the marathon. He was a bit drunk. Maybe not completely drunk, but a bit. And for some reason, he liked Krishna. And I was trying to tell him that it's not so good to drink. And he says, and actually he was even preaching. I tried to stop one girl, and he started to tell her in Slovenian something that, yeah, these good books and stuff. But we were talking. It was really hard to talk to him because he didn't speak too much English. But he told me that I like Krishna, but nobody tells me what to do. Not even Krishna. So that's the original disease in the material world. How does Krishna tell me what to do? So that's everyone in the material world has this mentality. They are making their declaration of independence. Now they went to the US. But everyone actually in the material world is making this declaration: I am independent of Krishna. Nobody tells me what to do. Which is quite stupid to say, because we are not independent. As His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj quoted this incident with Srila Prabhupada when he was asking about this independence of women. And he was, Srila Prabhupada gave this example that if she gets pregnant, then she has a choice to kill the baby or to beg from the state. And this lady reporter was like, yes, that's her choice. If she has a choice, she's independent. So that's how people see that they are independent. In spite of, and also you can think there's these people who are independent. Nobody tells them what to do. And then they go to their job, and their boss says, do this or you'll be fired. And they are, these independent people, they are like, okay, boss, yes. And then they are, after they do it, they are independent again. Yes, nobody tells me what to do. And there was this COVID also, where people were completely, we're independent, and nobody tells us what to do. And then you have this, the governments, all over the world, giving these laws. Okay, you have to wear a mask wherever you go. And then for the next 2 weeks, you have to stay in your house. So how can you say you're independent? You know, like they get these laws and you have to obey. So how can you say you're independent? So, of course, then the next step is that they say, okay, they can tell me what to do, but they cannot tell me what to think. No, at least I'm an independent thinker. You meet these people, they are really independent thinkers. Oh, nobody tells me what to do. Okay. And then you listen to them for some time, for 1 minute, And then you're like, okay, but if nobody tells you what to do, why did I hear this idea millions of times from all other people, you know, like, and I can tell you exactly where you got it from. Okay. Because they are not actually independent thinkers. Even this idea that they are independent thinkers, they got it from someone. So, and there was also one funny incident. We were going for a preaching program in Romania from one city to another, and it was winter. And it was heavy snow, really heavy snow. And in Romania, you know, in Romania they are not so organized. They are quite surprised when snow comes in December. And sometimes they are surprised if snow comes even in January. You know, and they, when they're like, oh, snow, oh my God, where's this these machines for taking the snow away? And so on. So they take some time to find them. A few days usually. So when there's this heavy snow, we were also stuck in some place. We're just stuck, you know, like you're, there's heavy snow, there's snow all over, and you're with the car there, and Hare Krishna. everything, what can you do? You can just sit there and chant Hare Krishna, because you're stuck. You cannot do anything. So that was quite a clear case that actually we're really not independent. And this idea of being independent is just a stupid idea. So nobody is independent. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that everyone is under the control of Maya. They cannot say at the end of the life, yes, I want this type of body, I want that type of body. No. Yamaraj and the committee, they will decide, okay, you deserve this kind of body. Finish. No, that's... So nobody is independent. But... So that's why it's described here that we might think that Krishna is like us. You know, like, oh, so this means that also Krishna is not, he's also dependent on something. And, and this text says that, no, actually Krishna comes to the material world because he wants to. He feels like, he wants. Like sometimes we act whimsically and we're like, oh, I do this because I want to. And nobody tells me what to do. Krishna is exactly like that. He's like, okay, I do this because I want to. So that's the real difference. And sometimes you might think, okay, so Krishna is coming to the material world. People might think that Krishna is coming to the material world, so he must be under the control of Maya. These Mayavadis, they think like this. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation, a very nice analogy. He says that sometimes the president goes to the prison to see what's going on in the prison, in inspection. And the prisoner might think, oh, the president is also a prisoner here. Me and the president are on the same level. I knew it. I knew the president is not bona fide. He's also a prisoner. But actually, the president comes there out of his free will. He checks what's going on and he goes. He's not under the laws of the prison. Nobody tells the president in prison that, oh, now it's lunchtime, you have to eat this strange food we give to the prisoners. No. Completely independent. So, that's Krishna's position. And also, if we want to be free, if we want to be have freedom, then we have to associate with Krishna, which is the complete free. So then we actually, Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that we have to declare our like they have this declaration of independence, and we should have this declaration of dependence on Krishna. I'm not independent anymore. I'm dependent on Krishna. So that's what we have to do. And this is somehow easy to do. A declaration is very easy to do. You know, like we say, we can say many things. You meet these Christians and they say they have accepted Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. Oh, that's so nice. Have you also accepted Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? No, then you should accept Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Which is good. I mean, it's a nice sentiment. But if you look at how they live, it doesn't seem like they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They are doing all sorts of sinful activities. And you can ask them, you know, like, does Lord Jesus Christ like that you're smoking? No. And they have a few ideas. Sometimes they said, yeah, he's all right with that. And some others, they understand, oh, maybe it's sinful. But no problem, because as Srila Prabhupada sometimes says that these Christians have this mentality that, oh, Jesus Christ has died for our sins, so we can go full on. We can continue doing whatever nonsense we want to do. So that's not... in a similar way, we can accept Krishna in our heart. But actually, accepting Krishna in our heart means accepting Krishna's instructions, which is a bit more difficult. And we show if we accept Krishna by how much we accept his instructions. So that's somehow we can get convinced of this. But and next step is to understand, okay, one of the instruction is to accept a spiritual master. No? So then we can understand, oh, Srila Prabhupada must be a pure devotee. So we can accept Srila Prabhupada in our heart, which is good. One of the benefits of accepting Srila Prabhupada is he's not here to correct us. We'll come back to this. And then we find out what it means to accept Srila Prabhupada. So it means, of course, when you come to the temple, you pay dandavats, you show some respect to Srila Prabhupada. But as in the case of Krishna, accepting Srila Prabhupada means accepting his instructions. Of course, where can we find his instructions? Then we have to think, okay, how do I know what are the instructions of Srila Prabhupada? And of course, there are many letters, there are many room conversations, and there are many... But sometimes these instructions are according to time, place, circumstances, and might apply or might not apply in our case. So if you want to find what Srila Prabhupada's instructions are, we have to find from his books. Srila Prabhupada says that these books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So, yeah. We have to find Srila Prabhupada's instructions from the books. And then, of course, until here, it can be all right. It can be not so challenging. Like, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, his books are nice, but one of the tendencies of the conditioned soul is that you can choose whatever you like from the books. You can read the books, like William Blake says, though the books are very clear, but as William Blake says, we both read Bible day and night, I read black and you read white. So there is always this tendency of the conditioned soul to find whatever he likes in the books. And then you can, if you're scholarly enough, you can show anything from some books. So that's why there is next stage. Okay, we have Krishna, we have Srila Prabhupada, we have the books. But then we have next stage where we have we understand. Okay, one of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada is to accept a spiritual master, a living spiritual master who can guide us, who can tell us. Most important, if our understanding of the books is correct or not. Who can tell us that maybe we're wrong? Maybe what we're thinking is not okay. Very, very important. That's one of... there's one deviation which is called Ritvik Sampradaya. Their philosophy is, of course, there's some explanation. Ritvik means priest, means that someone is giving initiation on behalf of Prabhupada, so they are direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So many times this kind of philosophy, they have complex philosophy. It's based on some letter that Srila Prabhupada sends and so on. But what is the actual philosophy in this part is that nobody is qualified enough to tell me what to do. This Ritvika says, okay, there's Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada is there, you know, like, it's there. There's these books which I read however I like to read, and nobody can tell me what to do. Because I'm a pure devotee. Yeah. And then you have, so you have, actually what these are saying, this is called the distraction of how the temple presidents have fun. If you don't want to accept any authority, you accept, okay, we accept Srila Prabhupada as our authority. Wow, that's nice. And then I'm the authority for everyone else, of course. And nobody tells me what to do, because only Srila Prabhupada is qualified enough to tell me what to do. No, that's actually the Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai, Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, of course. But then Srila Prabhupada's instruction was to follow his representatives. Srila Prabhupada didn't say, oh, I'm the only one qualified to tell you what to do. So that's why we have to understand, next step is to understand, okay, I have to take a spiritual master, diksha from a spiritual master. And actually the purpose of diksha is to support shiksha, is to support getting instructions. And then, this is, I heard many times, my Guru Maharaj said that the Diksha Guru's role is to teach us who our other Shiksha Gurus are, how to recognize our other Shiksha Gurus. Because sometimes it might be that our spiritual master is somewhere. Somewhere we don't have too much contact with him. Or maybe it's even there and we don't have too much contact with him and he will not tell us everything, you know. Like. So his role is also to teach us who are other spiritual masters are. So this, of course, there was one very funny case, you know, like I was living in that temple in Romania, and this temple president was quite, was not officially Ritvik, but he was a Ritvik. Like his spiritual master was not there. He left the body. And there was no authority. There was no one to tell him what to do. And then they had some meeting with the GPC and so on. And then they were talking about Ritviks. And he was thinking, what Ritviks? There are no Ritviks. But they were talking about him, you know. What Ritviks? No, there are no Ritviks, you know. Like everyone is ISKCON here. So anyway, this this tendency to actually we're Ritvik by the tendency to have no authority. If there is no one to tell us what to do, then we're in that direction, you know. If there's no no devotee qualified enough to tell me what to do, then yeah, that's it, you know. So just there's a nice example of this actually happening that the instruction of Srila Prabhupada was to follow his representatives. This is in Hawaii. In Hawaii, they had this. This is studied in ISKCON disciple course. So they had these disciples, and that were coming from. There was this young guru, and he came to ISKCON with all his disciples, and they were. Somehow mixing some of Vaishnava practices with yoga, with Ayurveda, and so on. So, and there, Srila Prabhupada appointed someone as GBC for Hawaii, which was not from this group. And there were some conflicts somehow between the two groups. There was the ISKCON group and the other group, which was of. In theory, also ISKCON. So eventually, these guys that they came with their guru, they left ISKCON, and they meet Srila Prabhupada. And there's a room conversation, and Prabhupada is asking them, "Why did you leave? Why don't you stay? Why don't you surrender?" So their stance was, they were insisting that we follow you, Srila Prabhupada, but we don't follow the GBC. So they said, okay, we follow you, but we don't follow the GBC. And then there's this conversation, one of the GBC members is asking, you say that you accept Prabhupada? Yes, they replied. You say that whatever he asks you, you can follow? Yes. So then, if Prabhupada asks you to follow the GBC, will you do it? He's like, okay, you accept Prabhupada? Yes. You accept whatever he tells you to do? Yes. Okay, he tells you to follow the GBC. Do I accept this? And I said, no, we cannot follow. And Prabhupada just dropped his fist and said, just see the hypocrisy, and then they just left. So that's sometimes the tendency we have. I mean, maybe not on this level, but we have this tendency to not to accept Prabhupada, but his representatives, not so important. This typical Kanishtha mentality. Kanishtha Adhikari, when he comes to the temple, he's like, okay, this is deities. Deities are bona fide. We offer respects to deities. And these devotees, there's, you know, like, they're also here, but who cares, you know, like, why? They are just They have no idea what they're doing because it's just me and the deities, and just me and Krishna. And as you become more advanced, you say, oh, there's also these devotees here and they are dear to Krishna. And maybe they know more than I do. To end with this, there was a nice discussion we had with some devotees. I was more like in a joking mood. And this one devotee who was quite new, he said that he's the third in the hierarchy. So then the other, then I asked one other devotee who was older. He said, I'm the tenth. And then ask another devotee what position you are in the hierarchy. They're like, he was even longer in the, like, yeah, I'm a bit like the 20th. So then we're looking at this new devotee, and we're looking at him, and it's like, maybe if you advance a bit more, maybe you become the 5th, the 6th, maybe even the 10th. So, yeah, that's the idea. The more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more we understand that it's not just Krishna, it's Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, is Krishna and the spiritual master, and there's Krishna, spiritual master, and all the other devotees who can help us make progress in spiritual life. And the more we understand this, the more we have a proper attitude to our to the other devotees, the more we advance. And if we don't have this attitude, that's the normal way that Kanishtha Adhikari goes out of the movement. He's just doing offenses to the devotees, and then his intelligence is taken away, and he just either leaves or, yeah, usually he leaves. So that's one important thing to understand. Krishna is not just Krishna. Krishna is Krishna and his devotees. So the most one of the important things in to make progress is to have a proper attitude to other devotees and to understand that there might be also some who are more qualified than we are. Jai. Sorry, okay. We'll stop here. There are some questions, concerns, complaints. Okay. Grant Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.